Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This morning I would like to teach on praying for the move of God's Word. And I'd like to begin in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It is God's will, it is God's deep desire that all men would be saved. A person who is not saved, not born again, has only body and soul. And God originally designed human beings to be body, soul, and spirit. So God would have all men to be saved and to come into a knowledge of the truth. And the scriptures speak very clearly about praying for the move of God's word. Take a look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, in verse 30 it says, Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. There were specific things here that Paul, by revelation, asked the believers to pray for. And of course they could speak in tongues, you know, pray for things that they didn't know about. They could pray for Paul by way of speaking in tongues. But here he gave them some things specifically to pray for. You know, Paul, is there anything we can do for you? Do you need anything? Can I help? Is there something I could do? Yes, please pray. I lovingly implore you to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And of course, Paul was moving God's word and he asked for help and assistance that they would pray for him. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Boy, strive together that we just read about in Romans indicates a real effort, doesn't it? Boy, but look at the great service and help that was made available to the believers. Strive together in your prayers for me. Talk about getting involved in moving God's word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. God is plainly telling us that we could be of help and assistance in the move of God's word by praying. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4. I think we read verse 2 yesterday. We might as well read it again. verse 2 of Colossians 4, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. We can pray for an open door of utterance so that others could hear the mystery, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. How about Ephesians? We've been there a number of times this week. Ephesians 6. Praying for the move of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 6. And how about, again, verse 18. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Praying always. We talked a little bit yesterday about persevering in prayer and keep on praying and praying. You know, and different people do different things to remind themselves to pray. Years ago, we used to have these little red stickers, called them SIT stickers. Some of you may remember them. You know, I'd put one up here and one there, and when you'd see them, it would remind you to, you know, start speaking in tongues. Some people used to write on their hands. You go to a fellowship and people would have a little SIT written on their hands so that when they would, you know, see their hand, they would, I guess, remind them to speak in tongues. You know, just whatever you do to help to remind yourself to keep on praying. Somebody sent me something not too long ago. I think it was called the Five Fingers of Prayer. You ever heard this? Well, it's just something to help you to remind you to pray more, and using the fingers on your hand. So the thumb is the finger that's closest to you, so that would remind you to pray for those who are closest to you. Your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your brothers, your sisters, maybe people in the fellowship. Then the next finger is the pointer finger, and that would be, you know, to remind you to pray for those that teach God's Word, that they could have the opportunity to teach God's Word and teach it accurately and hold forth God's Word. Then the middle finger there, the tallest one, would be to remind you to pray for leaders. You know, pray for kings and all them that are in authority, that they could make right decisions so that we could lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The next one, which people say is the weakest finger on the hand, would be to remind you to pray for those that are weak. Thank you very much, Joe. Those that are weak or sick or hurting or those that need more prayer. And then lastly, the little finger. That'd be to remind you to pray for yourself. And the little finger just to remind you to be humble, I guess. But, you know, there are different things that different people use to help them, to remind them, to get them more into a habit of praying more and to keep on praying. For years, I've utilized a prayer book inspired by some of the stuff I read about George Mueller, and it's been a great blessing. It's a notebook. On one side, I have the things I pray about and the date that I prayed, first started praying about it. Then on the other side, there are the answers. So I can put the date of the answer there and check it off, and whatever you utilize. But it says here that we're praying always with all prayer and supplication. And Paul not only encouraged the believers to pray in the Spirit, to speak in tongues, but he also told them to watch and to persevere in it for all saints, including him, that he could have the opportunity to boldly speak God's Word. And watching with perseverance would be a little more than just praying for a couple of seconds a day, you know, just a quick prayer here and there. Watching with perseverance and praying always, that indicates a little time, a little effort. Many times people will say, I wish I could help. Is there something I can do? I want to serve. I want to get involved here. I want to do, is there something I can do? Yes, pray. A great part of the move of God's word depends upon prayer. A great part of the move of God's word depends upon prayer. And not a lot of Christians really believe that, but we're reading it here in God's word, aren't we? In Romans, God beseeched the believers to strive together in prayer. That indicates a little bit of effort. Ever observe an athlete who's striving to become his best? Puts in a little more than 5 seconds a day into it. You know, you read about these people that... Some guy set the Guinness Book of World Records, I heard not too long ago, for push-ups. Was it push-ups? Yeah, it was push-ups. I don't know. It was this unbelievable number in an hour. He did, I forget how many push-ups, and he trained for months, 6-7 days a week, doing push-ups. Put all that time, effort into it so that he can be the reigning push-up king of the world. Imagine if someone were to train to be the reigning prayer of the world, you know? Pray more than anybody. The Guinness Book of World Records. Someone who, well, we all do with our time what whatever we want to, but God told us in 2 Thessalonians that we ought to pray for the word to have free course. In Colossians, we read that God said, pray for doors of utterance. And here in Ephesians, God says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If prayer is not all that necessary for God's word to move, then why would God beseech us, lovingly implore and beg us to do it? If it's not needed, why would God use such very strong words like strive together and praying always and watching thereunto? Why would God over and over tell us to pray for His word to move? Maybe a better question would be, what would happen if we really believed what God's word says, addressed to us, and really started striving together in prayers for the move of God's word? What would happen then? What could happen? I'd like to take this a step further and go to Colossians chapter 4. We read in Ephesians, and for all saints. Remember, we just read that? Well, here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, we may have read this verse earlier this week, but I'd like to read it again. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. God calls this wonderful man, Epaphras, a servant of Christ. And he was one who was always laboring fervently in prayers. I don't know what else he did, but God decided to let us all know that he was a servant of Christ and that he was always laboring fervently for them in prayers. And laboring fervently takes a little effort and time, correct? In fact, that's the same word that's used in Romans where we read strive together. Laboring fervently, it's the same word. Who are the you and the ye in this verse? Let's read it again. Epaphras, who is one of you, the believers in Colossae, a servant of Christ, always, or saluteth you, you believers in Colossae, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye, the believers in Colossae, may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Sometimes people have this idea in their head that the moving of God's word, or even open doors to speak God's word, means brand new people. Or I guess that translates into people that are new to our group. Brand new to our group. That's how we move the word. If the word's moving, then there's new people in there. And it's true, we pray to reach out to those that do not know God's word so that we could, you know, share the greatness of God's word with them. But praying for the word of God to move, praying for God's word to move is not limited to just new people. Look at this again. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What a great service it is to pray, to labor fervently in prayers. What was the purpose that he was praying? That they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. How are they going to do that? How is anyone going to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God? How do you get to that point? By hearing the word, by learning the word, by someone teaching you God's word, by learning more of God's word, and then by walking on it. What a prayer, what a service, what a help, what an involvement in the move of God's word. You know, our goal as born-again believers is not to get people into our group. Our goal as born-again believers is to get God's word to people. We're here to move God's word and get God's word to people. And certainly if we've got God's word in our fellowship, if we've got the love of God and the accuracy of God's word, yeah, we want them to come and fellowship with us. But the bigger picture is, as a born-again son of God on the face of this earth, as lights of this world, and as we heard Father tell us this morning, to go forth, we're here to get God's word to people. That's what we're here for. And that includes people that already know God's word, to get more word of God to them. I want more word of God come to me. I want to grow in God's word. And you know, it's going to require prayer. It requires prayer. And either that or God's wrong, because he's certainly bringing it up a few times in here. How about Colossians 1? Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Wow, isn't that something? What a great prayer for the saints. Isn't it? What a great prayer for those in our fellowships. Wouldn't that be a great prayer for the people we fellowship with? Praying that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and praying that they walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, praying they would be fruitful and in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, with according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. My goodness. You know, how often do we take the time, and pray for those who are in our fellowship, the saved ones, the ones that know the word, that we could grow. Pray for each other to grow. You know, speak in tongues, labor fervently, strive together. Epaphras did. That's what God said about that wonderful man Epaphras, that he was always laboring fervently for them in prayers. He prayed a lot for the believers in Colossae, the people who were already born again. Isn't that neat? Here, their prayer for the believers in Colossae was that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Again, how do you get filled with the knowledge of God's word? By hearing God's word, right? By hearing it. Now, in order to hear God's word, someone has to teach God's word, and someone has to listen to God's word. Someone has to Say, you know what? I'm going to go to the fellowship and hear God's word. I'm going to sit through the class. I'm going to hear God's word. I'm going to come up to family camp and I'm going to hear God's word. So we can pray for people. We can pray for people that they would, you know, want to hear more of God's word, that they want to grow more in God's word. Or we can just go to their house and climb through a window, grab them, and drag them to fellowship. I'll sit down and hear the word of God. Well, they also prayed that they would walk worthy of the Lord. Walk, apply God's word, to apply what we've heard. That's more than just hearing God's word. We want to apply God's word in our lives and walk out on that wonderful word of God. Apply it. Look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. You know, when it comes to the move of God's word, how valuable is prayer? How needful is God's prayer? Is praying? How necessary is praying? And yet oftentimes it's so overlooked and not valued. What did I say? Hebrews? Hebrews 13, good. Well, and again, the words that God uses to describe how we ought to pray, God does not use light, flippy words that would indicate just a casual, once in a while, pray, you know. Oh, yeah, once in a while, I better pray for so-and-so in the fellowship. Oh, Father, I thank you, he's doing all right. Okay, now I got things to do. But, you know, but what about just stopping and taking some time and speak in tongues and pray and ask God that he could be blessed and that he could just want to understand God's word, that he could increase his knowledge of God's word, walk on God's word. Praying. Praying. Sometimes I think that we sometimes think that in order for that to happen, we have to go and sit with someone and really talk them into it. And look, don't you want to walk on God's word? You know, it's all up to us. We've got to, why not? God says pray. And nothing wrong with talking with people and sharing God's word with them, but maybe praying first. Might have a little more profitable time when we sit down with them. Hi, I'm glad you came over. I'm waiting to hear from you. And again, you know, we're all busy. We have a lot to do. But, you know, if we want to serve, we can take time to pray and pray and strive together in prayer and labor fervently in prayer. What an impact it could have. If God uses this, these words in his word to tell us how to pray and tells us that this is a very important, necessary, and needful part of the move of God's word. If we were to just do it, what could happen? And, you know, we're from a lot of different areas of this country and the world. And I don't know if anyone sitting in here doesn't want to see God's word move and increase. I do. I know you do. I want to pray more about that. Let God do his thing. You know, we've read a number of verses. We read instant in prayer in Romans. We read in Colossians, continue in prayer. Pray without ceasing in Thessalonians. Brethren, pray for us in Thessalonians. We read men ought to always pray and not faint. How about that? Well, I haven't seen any really increase or nothing. Well, don't faint. Keep praying. Keep talking to God about it. I mean, that's what Scripture directs us to do. And in Hebrews 13, let's look at verse 18. Pray for us. Pray for us. Boy, it just keeps coming up, doesn't it? Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Pray for us. 2 Corinthians 1. Boy, what a great service to the body of Christ. What a great involvement and service in the move of God's word to pray for open doors of utterance, to pray for people to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. 2 Corinthians 1, verse, I think we've had this verse too, 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. What a great help it is. What a great help it is to pray for the move of God's Word. And there's a lot more in God's Word. A lot of it we've seen already. But remember Acts chapter 4? They prayed for more boldness to speak God's Word and that signs, miracles, and wonders could be done. We looked at Acts chapter 6 where the apostles got a little bit of help so that they could spend their time continually in praying and ministering God's Word. How about Acts chapter 10? Cornelius always prayed and got an answer to his prayer by the angel. Meanwhile, Peter's on the rooftop praying. The result of that prayer, you want to talk about the move of God's Word, was the Gentiles also getting the new birth and manifesting Holy Spirit. Praying. In Acts chapter 12, which has already been covered, Peter was in prison and prayer was made without ceasing for him by the church, so that that wonderful man of God could get out of church, at jail, so that he could get out of jail and continue to move God's Word. Was that a help in moving God's Word? Praying for him? Oh, certainly it was. Certainly it was. In Acts 16, there was Paul and Silas who were beaten and in stocks, and they prayed and praised God at midnight. Still blows my mind when I think about it. They prayed and praised God, sang praises. I mean, I could see praying. I don't know if I'd be singing. I don't know what song they sang, but it must have been a dandy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's look at this again. That's where we started out. You know, I was thinking about how every born-again believer, each and every one of us, no matter how old, how young, even the children can pray for the move of God's Word. There, you know, every one of us can be involved in the move of God's Word in that capacity, in that area. Every one of us can pray that God's Word can move. And keep praying for the move of God's Word. And pray for the Word of the Lord to have free course. Well, then there must be some obstruction somewhere if we need to pray for free course. Yeah, there's still an adversary in the world till we get gathered and get away from this, you know, evil world that gets worse and worse. Shouldn't get surprised. God said it would. If the Word's going to move, it's going to require prayer. It will require prayer. It's not just I really want the Word to move. If I really want the Word to move, if that's really my heart's desire to see God's Word move, to see people come to an accurate knowledge of God's Word that are hungering and thirsting like we were at one time, to see the believers in the fellowship continue to grow, it's going to require prayer because God said so. Pray. Pray about it. And, you know, that's a pretty easy thing to do when you think about it. It just requires some time and effort. It's not like, you know, something hard. Build a rocket, circle the moon and come back if you really want the Word to move. I'm sorry, I'd like to, but I can't do that. But I can pray. I can speak in tongues. You know, I can think of you and speak in tongues. We can pray for each other. We can strive together as born-again believers in prayer to God. Isn't that wonderful? Let's read this verse again. God, verse 4, God who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants every human being saved. Everyone. And so we can pray about it. Prayer is very vital to the movement of God's Word. It's vital in getting new people. It's vital in the move of God's Word for those who are already born again and standing on God's Word. And what about those that aren't standing on God's Word? Sometimes we think about people that are tripped out, flipped out, gone the way of whatever. Well, instead of it being such an unpleasant thought and getting all bummed, just pray. Father, I pray for them. Just pray for them. Prayer is so vital and necessary, and many times it's so overlooked in moving God's word. And we can take the time, we can make the time to pray. God would have all men to be... Do you know anyone who's not saved? You know, maybe a relative, maybe a co-worker. You know what we could do about it? Pray. Pray that they'd get saved. We may not be the person that really gets them right to the point of the new birth of confessing Jesus as Lord, believing in their heart God raised him from the dead. It might not be us personally that does it, but we can pray. And, you know, maybe some of you have cranky relatives or, you know, have to go to family gatherings once in a while where might be an obnoxious, unsaved relative. How you doing? We should pray for that person when we think about him. Got the family gathering coming up. Oh, let me pray. Sure would be nice by the time I get there that the guy's born again. Boy, something happened to him. What's going on with him? He's different. But we can pray, right? We can pray because God would have all men to be saved and to come into a knowledge of the truth. And, you know, when we pray for someone to get saved, when we pray for someone to grow in God's word and to increase in the knowledge of God, when we pray for someone to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, when we pray those prayers, we can be absolutely assured that we are praying according to God's word. We are praying according to God's will. We are absolutely praying a prayer that lines up perfectly with God's word. We are inside of His will in our prayer. Isn't that wonderful? I would like to close in Luke chapter 10. Probably know what verse I'm going to read here. God bless you. And I think when it comes to, you know, seeing God's word move, because God's words, I mean, God's will still word over the world. God still wants people to be saved in every country, in every nation. And we can be an active part of that. We can be an active help in that. We can be an active service in that, as Epaphras was a servant of Christ. We can, if we want to, make the time and take the time to pray for God's word to move, for the free course of God's word, for those open doors of utterance. You know, sometimes the doors are closed. We need to pray for those doors to open that we may speak boldly as we ought to speak, that we could bring a gospel of deliverance and a gospel of peace and the message of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has, you know, done for people. Boy, oh boy, we can pray for that. So I would like to close and read this verse. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Jesus Christ was speaking. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray, pray, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. If we really want to help, if we really want to serve, if we really want to do something that is so needful and so necessary and so vital for the move of God's word, each and every one of us can pray.